Blog Talk Radio. Come get this teaching arranged by the author Sherelle Omeika Bidiako Garth. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Well, we've taken our music to another place, somewhere out there in the middle of space. Busting out with lines of ebonics, reducing ourselves to a level of demonics, when we can be pushing albums that flaunt it. Instead, we choose to front it. Well, we don't take without giving back. We do this in order to circumvent lack. It's a fact. It's the principle of reciprocity in act. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. While we've gone from paying some dues to singing someone else's blues, we can't continue to allow ourselves to be used. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. We went from segregated to integrated to miseducated, now to reeducated. It's time. It's time. We've been dedicated before we soon regret it. Put down the pipes. Lift up your heads. And let's possess the mics. For we're taking this music to a brand new height. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. Just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Once rendered mute, unable to use the words of our own pursuit. We've got a brand new vocabulary at our disposal. While we're not even writing our own proposals. While the stories of the ghetto hood unfold, of the coming one to be foretold. Didn't you know it? That it's our time now to manufacture our own flavor of rhyme. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. Just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Let's take the message to a higher ground, like Stevie Wonder and James Brown. Well, we don't have time for fooling around. Let's take the beat. Let's take the beat where we can all get down, where we can all get down. Knowledge and truth is what the people want to hear in this critical time of living in fear. Let's possess the stage like the coming of the new millennium age. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying, and you know I'm not lying. Now I'll ask you, are you the one, or is there another to come to take this music to a higher level? And if you aren't, then come get this teaching and give it to those who I'm not reaching.
Welcome to Care to Read. Thank you for joining the Omeika show. This evening, you have your Omeika 7, the advocate, the one you want, and your advisor, the one you need. We'd like to thank you for joining the Care to Read room. And for those who realize that on a weekly basis, we bring you things that pertain to consumer science and family education, we are underwritten by Project 2019, and Project 2019 mission is to close the gap of disparity, to bring the numbers closer together of the number of African Americans who are still illiterate. We plan to eradicate illiteracy and close the gap. We're also covering issues that pertain to mind, body, soul, and spirit, issues that pertain to the family. We know that the child is at the center of the family and all issues surround around the child. So we ask the question, how is the African family doing this evening? We also ask, and how are the children? It's a customary thing to do because we know if the child is at odds or has some complication, then the whole nucleus family is ailing. And we like to say that we are African-centered teachers here in this room, and one of the things that we like to do, as is as always, we like to pay homage to our elders in the room. And we look to them to give us direction for ourselves, and we look to them to give us the go-ahead and directions to go on with speaking, because we are the uninitiated. And as we look to the elders, we ask the elders, do we have permission to speak? And upon receiving that nod, we then began to pay homage to our ancestors. And I want you to know that I said pay homage and commune, not worship, but pay homage. Because all of those great souls that are gone on before us, it is their backs that we stand upon. And it's their shoulders that we lean upon. And I want you to know that it's important for the Africans at all times to be responsible for remembering each one of those souls that have gone on, and we pay homage to them. And we like to say once again, we oftentimes explain to the community that our topics are wholesome. Our topics are focusing around literacy and reading. We introduce books to the family to encourage the family to find good books that they can read to the household and to the children. But primarily, these are to educate the adults in the home. As you know, as a going over what we pretty much covered in the past, we've worked on literacy for teachers and providers, and we've encouraged them to come into the room. We have been working very hard on getting our website up so that those families could go to the website and they will have access to materials such as reading readiness material. They will have access to some of the materials that we've used in this room. So we've been very, very rushed and trying to pull things together for that room. And if we appear to not have all those things here in the room, that's because we're putting them up in a website. Nevertheless, our whole conscious topic is to bring you to consciousness, bring you into understanding of who you are and to know yourself. We've been talking about health, alternative measures, using holistic methods for healing, such as tinctures, infusion, essential oils. And these are the things that we want you to incorporate in your household. Now, we do have a topic, and we always have a topic and discussion, and we do bring in guests in this room. Today we're going to be bringing our guests in a little bit later, around 7 o'clock. So, guests, if you're out there, upon the 7 o'clock hour, we will be bringing you to speak, allowing you to get those things together while we set the precedence for our topic for this evening. I'd like to say that when dealing with mind, body, soul, and spirit, we look at a number of things, health, mental illness. We also look at our spiritual disposition and where we are in our spiritual walk. And we've also covered some things that I would like to reiterate. We talked a little bit about knowing where your center is in your higher self. And I spoke of this a couple of weeks ago about your ORI, your center, your higher self, which is your head, and that if you are to have good success and if you are to have good homage, then you pay tribute to your head, which is your ORI, your higher self, the God who dwells within you, who also you collaborate with, cooperatively working together on one accord to get things done. And therefore, that's why we can say God never leaves you and will always be with you, because it is your head. If you are going off on a trip, and you ask who could go all the way with me, there's only but one that could go all the way with you, and that is your head. You pay homage to your ORI. Now, we're going to be teaching a whole segment on understanding traditional African lifestyle. And traditional African lifestyle, it is a way of life. It doesn't become a religion. It's a way of life. And some people may say, you're acting African. It's not a customarily done here in the urban setting. But if you are African today, you will be African tomorrow. The question is only to be or not to be African. And as you attempt to be yourself and know yourself, don't think that it's strange to focus in on customs and tradition. It is okay, listening audience. It is all right. And the reason I'm saying this is that we must learn to get in contact with ourselves, our higher selves, know our customs and tradition, and pass those on to our children. It is perfectly okay. Matter of fact, I urge you to do that on a weekly basis, to go and use a Saturday to teach your customs and tradition. We are not a heritage. We have a culture. And children need to know that they're not customarily just celebrating Martin Luther King's Day and possibly Christmas and Kwanzaa, but they need to know that they have a tradition, a custom, and most of all customs came out of the tradition of the heritage, and all customs came out of our lineage and where we come from. African Americans have been attached to a country, but we've been void of our own customs and our own tradition. And as I teach in this class, I try to incorporate those because those are things that you need for healthy living. Some people are so lost and disconnected that they become ill. And we can help debrief, and that's what we're talking about today, debriefing. If we can help debrief some of those thoughts, those frequencies that we have from our past of suffering that have been passed down, and go into our jobs and debrief our departments on issues, then we can get along and we can be able to function better together. The reason why we find so many problems in the workforce within our customs and traditions and getting along with races is because people have not talked about things that need to be addressed. Once they're talked about and you earnestly address them, then you find that people are a little bit freer to live and to function. But when we suppress those things and we cover them up as if they don't exist, then we have people who are confused about who they are and what their purpose is. Now, I would like to say one thing. There's only one race, and as I say always in this classroom, that there is one race, one human race, and that everything sprung from that. You can check me out on that. That's not according to God. It's according to the history books. And those of you who would set up a study, please do go check. The last time I checked, there was only one human race. And having only one human race would mean that we are people collectively together to make up many different diversities. And it's okay to have diversity. It's okay to talk about our history and our history of slavery, but we don't want to dwell on slavery. We want to go beyond slavery and talk about what happened during the dynasty of the annals of history when we were kings and queens, at a time when we were kings and queens. Yes, high priests and priestess. Yes, we were. And I'm not talking about a Mediterranean group of people that existed outside of the African. I'm talking about a one people who had the same lineage. I'm talking about one people so that we can connect those dynasties together. And the Mediterranean, you can still find Africa and Egypt, and they're connected, and we are one. And then when we see ourselves as being a part of that great people, then it's okay to stand up beside other races of people and feel counted and necessary. The reason why we can let racism perpetuate in our society is because we feel inadequate and feel ostracized and looking in from the outside. I'd like to tell you that we're all kin to one another. We're all connected. I don't care what you say, some kind of way we're connected, either through the slave ship or through the middle passage. We're connected. Like it or not, people, we're connected. And races of people will have to understand that when we come together, everybody has a place. You give everybody their homage and their place, and then you allow people to belong and to believe in themselves and to be a part, then you won't find one race of people dominating. And then you cannot justify someone being sub anything. We are all equal in the sight of God. And we are gods, so we ought to allow ourselves to practice as gods every day, addressing ourselves as higher beings. We have been given dominion over this earth. And in giving dominion over this earth would mean that we would take precedence on whatever is above. Whatsoever is above is below. We will bring heaven here on earth, and we will function as royalty. And as long as everyone is allowed to do that, then the racism, I think, can vanish. We can make it happen today, people. I don't know if you know this or not, but during the year of 2012 is the year that the earth is waiting for us to come into right standing and right knowledge. And the way you come into right knowledge is you stop suppressing the truth. The truth must go forth. Once the truth is released, a lot of people may not like it. A lot of people may be angry, but it will set you free. At the same time, it will allow those souls who would like to be connected become connected to other people and have a broader and a richer life. Don't you want a broader and a richer life today? Isn't it a part of mind, body, soul, and spirit being balanced in yourself? Isn't it a part of allowing you to be one people the way it was intended to be? Now, we acknowledge that we all have many faiths, and that's okay. We all drink from one spirit, but there's many paths to get to our higher self and to get to the Godhead. But remember, I taught you that God is not out there in the atmosphere somewhere. He is so ever near, right within you. So as you begin to function and treat each other the way that the scriptures have told you to love one another, and loving yourself and loving your neighbor like yourself, then you would have truly brought Christ into crystallization. Christ was not some subject. He was a concept. He was a concept, and that concept was to carry love abroad and let love shed abroad, and for us to do unto others as we would ourselves. And I'm about to preach today, because I know you need to hear that. I know I need to get a word through to some people, because they're wondering, what is Omi Inka doing, telling everybody that they're God? What is she saying? I'm freeing somebody today. I'm delivering somebody today. Because that's what family affairs are all about, setting you free. You're being set free today so that you will understand. Hold your head up high. Lift your countenance and know that you belong. Treat your neighbor like yourself. Don't go thinking yourself to be better than someone else, because we are all struggling down a path to get to righteousness and higher learning. And as we get ready for that year of 2012, we're going to be prepared, because we are going to tap into our cosmic records, and we're going to realize that our ancestors were great people, not only just the Egyptians, but there were many great ancestors, and we're going to learn how to solve some of the ills and problems of this time. We're going to know what to do when we're called upon, and we're not going to sit baffled by the fact that our world has been turned upside down. Every kind of way you can think about the economy, it's been turned upside down, reaching a boiling point. But when we deal with racism from the perspective that we are not going to think someone to be higher than ourselves, we are not going to suppress other people that are lesser than us, we're going to support the weak, and we're going to encourage them with our ability to advocate as an ombudsman, to go between and speak for those who can't speak for themselves. And as we talk about our consciousness, I want you to remember, African people, that when this earth was formed, you were called into conception, and there was a purpose for you, and there's a reason for you, and your skin tone was ordered. It was no mistake. It was all predestined. You have all been predestined, each one of us, and we're called for this time and this purpose. And as we think about racism and what is done to our communities, what is done to our children, you don't have to be black or white to be racism. But to impose racism, you have to have power. Power is the ability to define a thing and make others accept it as their own. As we use our power, because we know knowledge is power, and the Bible says you don't know the scriptures. And you don't. When you don't know the scriptures, you don't have power. And the scriptures give you the ability to have power. Now I want you to take that power and use it today to free somebody, to deliver somebody. If you've been practicing racism, if you've been utilizing that on your job and just getting by with it, if you've been suppressing other races or other people, I want you to free yourself today. I want you to let that go, because we're trying to get whole and we're trying to get well. And as we get well and get whole today, we are coming into one consciousness. Because when this year of 2012 comes, we must come into right standing. And in coming into right standing, it means that we must become spiritual. No earthly being will inherit the kingdom. No flesh will inherit the kingdom. God is coming back for a spirit realm, not a church that is built with brick and mortar, but a concept. Remember that Jesus Christ had a concept. And if we practice those concepts, our eldest brother will be pleased with us. He will know then that we've become crystallized in Christ. And if we're practicing the concept of sitting still with the Islamic people and meditating, then Islam, your great prophet will know that you are becoming crystallized and solidified in Christ. It's important that we know one thing, ladies and gentlemen. as we make ourselves whole and we come into consciousness that we are healing ourselves and others around us. It is very important that we not leave this session or this program thinking that we understand racism and thinking that we are the righteous one. There are none that are righteous, no, not one. Even our thoughts, the very heart itself is desperately wicked, and who could know it? Now, we are to ask for wisdom and understanding, because in the book of James it said that we will be given wisdom and understanding unabridedly if we ask. But wherever there is ignorance and truth prevails, liberty and justice will set you free. Get free today, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to pause for a minute. We'll be right back at you in the ear. 1 second, we'll pause for a brief commercial. I'm back, listening audience, and thank you very much for holding for that station identification. And as I indicated earlier, we're talking about a topic of understanding about knowing thyself and freeing ourselves from the concept of racism and understanding that racism will be eradicated. And we can do that in this time by understanding that we are freeing ourselves. And the other topic that I would like to talk to you about is the mind, body, soul, and spirit. We talked about the middle passage once and some of the problems that ails the community, and the middle passage being likened to that of the Holocaust. We like to call the Holocaust the Mayafa, and the Mayafa is similar to what went on during the Holocaust with the Jewish people. And I had a chance to have a conversation with the Jewish families, and they compared their Holocaust to the Mayafa, in and of the fact the terminologies may be different, but the same concept existed. There were normal problems that they foresaw, and they were similar to some of the things that the African Americans were experiencing in their community. Disconnectedness, brokenhearted, looking back over the struggle, the civil rights movement, and as the Jewish people looked at their Holocaust, we compared our Mayafa. And just as the Africans cried over the Jewish Mayafa, they now are learning to cry over the Mayafa that we're having as well. And as you can go and look around in Germany, there is a lot of reminders of what happened during that Holocaust. And I had a chance to personally talk directly to some of those victims and to some of their family members who talked about what the offset problem was in the community. And there were a large amount of young people who were trying to make things right, who were trying to close the gap and trying to start over again. And they started with their communities and going to those homes of people who might have been Americans, who might have not understood about the Holocaust, and they came to talk about how could they make it right, how could they close the gap. And I was so pleased to see that. And if you look now, even in our history books, we're making history as I'm talking here. There are tribes over in Africa, such as over in Kenya and Uganda, and they are making allowances by apologizing to the Africans for slavery, and they are asking their forgiveness, and they are granting land. Actual lands, ladies and gentlemen, and giving land back to those African Americans who would like to come back and obtain their citizenship, be it dual citizenship or just obtaining land. They're offering that as a treaty and as an offering, which I think is a great thing. African Americans here in the diaspora don't believe it. They are shocked to hear that Africans are going to this extreme to close the gap. Everything on this earth now is being indicted for all of these things. And we're all having to look at what part we played in this horrible tragedy. We're all looking back and saying, could we have done something different or more? And as the Africans there began to start to close the gap, they're closing the gap and bringing about ceremonies, discussing the issue, and there's a lot of crying, gnashing of teeth, and asking of forgiveness. They know that they could not go on within their lineage and in their tribes without getting the forgiveness to go on. Because as we know, if we have odd in our heart against anyone, we cannot begin to ask for any prayers or ask the Creator to give us any desires of our heart without asking for forgiveness. So this is going on, ladies and gentlemen, whether you know it or not. It is currently going on over in Uganda and in Ghana, where they have had many ceremonies. And you can find some of those ceremonies that have been taking place that have been pre-recorded. I know personally that they are distinguishing materials, papers, and they're also asking if you would like to have land that has been set aside. I understand that currently in Belize, they are setting aside land for any African-American that might be interested in obtaining that land by paying the taxes and ascertaining that land to build property there. They're opening up their hearts, and they're asking to be forgiven because they played a part in this thing called racism and slavery. Has it affected the African-American man and woman? Yes, it has. Have they suffered for it? Yes, they have. We turn around and hate our European families, our European brothers and sisters. No, we don't. We don't do the things that the Jewish did when they found someone who participated in their Holocaust. We go back and try to make amends, and we address those issues, and we try to close the gap, and we try to live together in harmony and in peace. And we look at the situation that is going on over in Africa, and we find out, is there anything that we could have done differently? And if we do go back to the motherland, how can we be a part of living there? How can we be a part of helping them to rebuild their country again? And if you are one of those that have those questions, I had a couple of videos on my website that talk about the land that was being available. And this was some firsthand information. It's not what I heard or she say. It was firsthand information that I was bringing to you. I thought it to be strange myself when I discovered that they were leaving land and trying to make amends. I thought it to be very strange, and I did not think it to be true. But when I found out that it was true, I made sure that that information was made available. Now, in talking about racism within the job industry, within the various different communities, this is going to take some debriefing, ladies and gentlemen. And what I mean by debriefing is discussion groups need to start all over in different facilities and in different boardrooms. They need to be, again, all over to be addressed, because the way you get free and get delivered and get your ability to have a clear mind, body, soul, and spirit isn't as free of any past injuries that you might have had inflicted upon you, or self-help methods are always available, and that's called debriefing. Now, in your facilities, I want you to go back and look at your department head, look at your places of employment, and if it is being practiced, I want you to look at, do we have the opportunity to have a debriefing session, and what goes on in a debriefing session? I was a part of a debriefing session here in Indiana, and I don't know if it was a mandate, but a lawyer actually facilitated the program and took us through a complete racial debriefing program that we, if we had any biases amongst any people or groups of people, then during that session, it was our time to discuss those biases, and we were debriefed, and we were stripped down to the point to address what it was that bugged us about certain issues or certain people. And we got those things out on the table, and we talked about them, and we had an opportunity to cleanse ourselves and to free ourselves. And, oh, when you get free, you realize these idiosyncrasies that held you bound in the first place, they were not necessary. And it's important that you take this upon yourself in your establishments, in your jobs, and make sure that during this time when people are already on edge about their jobs, they're on edge about their homes, about the situation in the school system, everything is so unsure, they need one less thing to be worried about, and that is discrimination. It is a scar that people have to wear, and unfortunately, they wear it in the workforce, they wear it in the church arena, and it's not just one group of people doing it. You can be discriminated against within your church arena by virtue of which creed or denomination you choose. We need to stop it, ladies and gentlemen. We need to address the fact that if everyone is going to be able to choose for themselves, then they ought to be given the right to choose for themselves. And we ought to not think ourselves to be better than the next person and to snub somebody else because they got religion now and because they've been born again, washed in the blood, now they're white as a lamb. A lot of these things we have to revisit in our churches. We have to address some new things because some of us, while we're getting abundant and while we're advancing ourselves, we're becoming no earthly good because we have put down our brothers and we have depreciated that person to the point of discriminating against them because they are not of the same faith. These are the things we need to talk about because it goes on every day in the workforce, in the church setting, in the community. And if we are to find a way to become solidified in Christ and also to become meditating on the word to hear from God and the higher force, then we have to hear from our higher force and knowing that these are not the things that ought to be taught within our community. These are the things that need to be addressed, and they have to be debriefed. And I'd like to say for 1 minute here that our listening audience, I'm going to pause for a second because I don't see my guest hand out there, and hopefully I'm going to try to give that guest a call and see if they're still with us. And if that guest is not with us, I will go on with the session, and we'll bring that guest on tomorrow. But let me pause for a second, and we'll come right back at you in the air. Thank you. Yes, and we're back in the air. Thank you for joining Care to Read. That number here in the room is 646-478-0270. Please call in, listening audience. I'm waiting for our guests to show up in the room. Once again, we're talking about racism in the community and how it could be eradicated and how it could be addressed. Yes, we can be debriefed, and there are debriefing programs that are going on throughout the United States, some of them in professional settings, some of them are actually being conducted in our libraries and all over the continent. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find those facilities, and they're available for you because it will help you to be more sensitive to other people's biases and other people's belief system. But we don't have to carry biases into the classroom, carrying biases into our church facilities, into our place of work. And it's easy to have a concept and a belief and want everyone to believe like you believe, but we have to understand that the beauty of diversity is when we all have different thoughts and different philosophies. And I want you to understand that as we get clean and free and get our bodies healthy, we want to get our minds healthy. And we understand that a bad thought in the mind can cause you to render a belief system about somebody and be totally wrong. It's important that even in the workforce that we open up our mind to being able to be more sensitive to viewpoints of others and philosophies of others and schools of thought and pedagogical philosophies. And it's okay to have a different thought or a different belief system. It's all right to feel a certain way, but it's not all right to think someone else to be underneath you and need to be sub you or somebody that has a philosophy that you don't believe in, that you try to sabotage that person. And in the workforce, we see it happen again and again, ladies and gentlemen. And unfortunately for those small companies, they're not programs that are set up that are designed for debriefing, but in some of your major corporations, you could find those programs. And I want to say, for the benefit of the listening audience, that it's important that you know that as we talk about this topic, maybe you ought to bring it up in your department. Maybe you ought to address it in your department. Maybe you ought to address the problem that is happening in your community. And as you address the problem, maybe you ought to make the first step to make changes at your workplace. Now, why am I talking about this? Because a lot of people I know for a fact who have gone through this sensitivity session on their jobs, maybe even lost jobs because of discrimination or racial partiality. Some of them don't know where to turn because the system nowadays has a program. They may not have a program within their workforce, so they may be stuck. But they can develop these programs in a community for debriefing, to talk about issues, to address them. The way that you address things is that you make sure that they are talked about. They're not suppressed, they're not hidden, and they're not some sore topic that you keep hidden in the closet. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as we come up on this new dispensation of thought pattern, most people, be it if they're not into new thought, they are now having a change of thoughts, a change of mind, a change of heart, and they're looking back to see, is it a different way that this thing could be looked at? Can we make sure that we're being fair to everyone? I've even had some people to say that we can't be fair to everyone, but you can. I say you can. You can allow everyone to have a say-so and to have a part to play in a situation when working in a communal situation. Advocates are communal, and we do everything in a communal way so that we address everyone in the community. And as we address everyone in a communal setting, then we give everyone a chance to be acknowledged, and none will go and be discriminated against. So when I speak of discrimination and partiality, I mean someone taking the authority who has the upper hand. Remember I said Power is the ability to define a thing and make others accept it as your own. It's someone using their position or authority to usurp on other people. I don't care if you're black or white. If you use your power to usurp on somebody else, then you're discriminating against that other person. And if they don't have the same amount of power, or they're less fortunate to be endowed with that knowledge, and you use that power on them to take away their rights, then you have discriminated against that brother or sister. It's important that we understand this, ladies and gentlemen, because if we try to have a society that's communal, we must bring all races of people in together. And we just can't get ourselves clean without helping to get others clean. I know it's important to go and get our situation straightened out. But if we get our things straightened out and together, upside, all right, out of sight, we also have to address the community. Am I bold enough to speak about this? Didn't you know that that was a hidden topic? No, I didn't, because I try to treat all people the same and respect them for who they are. And I try to address them and have no particular homage paid to anyone that has a greater job or bigger salary or bigger house or bigger car. We often talk about, oh, when I get that big car, when I get abundance, I feel like I made it. But you can't make it without helping somebody else make it. And you can't advance yourself unless the whole community advances itself. That is a concept from the Buddhism. The Buddhists believe that when they prosper, the whole community prospers. That is a communal belief system, one that the Africans also share. And what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is that wherever our concepts may have been voided or may have been noted and void, we need to go back and revisit some of the concepts. What makes us a better community? What makes us a better city? What makes us a better country? As I look abroad in other continents, I see that when we look at other continents as being third world countries and we say, oh, America has it together, and we look at the other third world continents, they're looking at us saying, where are our morals and where are our values, and why aren't we looking at addressing other people with respect? They're watching everything we do, and as they watch everything we do, we have to be cognizant of the fact that going to church or not, we have to live righteously. We have to live righteous, have righteous morals and values. Church does not make you righteous, ladies and gentlemen. A building does not convert you. You must be converted in the heart. And being converted in the heart would mean that you would allow your inadequacies to be seen and addressed, and you will address them yourself. And you will try to do the best you can to change. Make that change. When Michael Jackson looked in the mirror, he wasn't talking about just making a physical change. This young man was hurting. Apparently, he was hurting a lot about what had been done to him over the years. He was hurting so much that he decided to really make that change, making a complete physical change aesthetically to get others to approve him and to esteem him. We don't want to have to make a change that drastic that we will wait for someone to esteem us and to approve us. First, you have to know yourself. And knowing yourself, you have to love yourself. And in loving yourself, you can reach out to others and feel reassured of who you are and not have to subject yourself to degrading yourself. It's important that we keep integrity and morals and values, because integrity and morals have gone out the window in some situations. When they view our movies over in other third world countries, we don't want them to see us as being a moralist society. We want them to be able to see us standing on moral and standards. And it's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that I get this topic out. And our listening audience, I want you to hear me, and hear me good today. I'm not on the soapbox opera because I want to talk about things, what has been happening to me. I'm speaking on behalf of those who can't speak for themselves. Because there's a lot of people that would like to be speaking in my place today. And there's a lot of people that would like to be talking about personal things that happened to them. But they're afraid. They don't have the power. They don't have the authority. They figure that they might get shot down. They figure that somebody might come against them. But I tell you, whatsoever thing is hidden will come to light anyway. But it's very important in this room that we talk about good books. And I want to give you a good book that you might definitely want to look at and find yourself. I want you to go out there and get a number of books, as a matter of fact. I want you to get a number of books so that you can start the process of building your library and addressing issues. The miseducation of the Negro and the education of the Negro. Now, the reason why I brought that book up is because sometimes you can take material and books and you don't have to worry about a society bringing racism up on you. You can take the society within the nuclear society and make them turn on themselves. And if you find that happening where there's black-on-black crime and destruction within your own community, then the problem that we have then is someone beginning to hate themselves and become racially discriminatory to themselves. So the reason why I mentioned that book, Miseducation of the Negro, is because that book was highly recommended in the school setting for African Americans to read, because our education has to free us. But unfortunately, when we don't have the truth in our history books, it doesn't free us. It holds us captive. And for some of us who have been degreed with credentials, higher levels of bachelor's, associates, and master's, and some PhD, our education belongs to our community. We are not to discriminate and set ourselves aside with us being higher than thinking higher about ourselves than we ought to, and at the same time making our community feel that education is the only key. You can be self-educated, ladies and gentlemen. And you have to remember, coming from the urban setting makes you responsible for giving something back. It doesn't make you become separate and unequal to your community. And as you begin to look over this topic that I've been addressing today, I want you to study within your heart and search yourself and see if any of these things that I've been addressing are things that you've been guilty of or you feel indicted about. But I don't want anyone to go away feeling indicted, but I want us all to be able to look within ourselves, because there are all some things that we have been hiding in our heart against others and that we periodically use as our advantage. And I know I'm going to search myself. But as I speak at the same time, I'm eating this message as I go along at the same time. But the way that you clean up a community is to first address the real ills of the community. We talked about hip-hop or singing on one of our shows and how people are so distressed because of some of the things they're saying. Then the reason why we ought to stop and look, what is going on in our community so wrong that would cause these young people to cry out? They are the pulse of the people of our community, and they are the ones that are systemically revealing what is truly happening in the community. And this is their battle cry. It's a battle cry that they bring to the forefront to talk about issues that are not right and things that need to be set right in the community and society and in our penal institution, in our schools, in all of our institutions. And that's a platform they've taken. And it should be a position that the elders in our community will take to address our issues and our problems in our community. And if we look back over our communities like we used to and say that we are going to address our problems based on what is wrong in our community, and we're going to handle our issues in our community, and straighten some things out like we used to do, I think we could be a lot better off. But nobody has an Aunt Susie or Aunt Peaches sitting on the stoop watching after children, telling them what not to do. Nobody has it in their community. Our communities have been disconnected. And as we debrief, we need to talk about building a community and becoming a communal society and reconnecting ourselves to not only to nature, to the ecosystem, but to ourselves. We become alienated from ourselves. So alienated that we don't see other people as human beings. Each race is a human being and a part of the race. And as we see one another that way, then we begin to have respect for each other. And respect can go a long way. In a work society right now, I'd like to close by bringing this to a close. I know I've brought you to a point of saying, where are we going? We're going to go up. After you've gone down, there's no place to go but up. No place. The cornerstone that was broken is now going to be the headstone. So now that we've reached full circle and come to the bottom, it's nowhere for us to go but up. That means that we're going to master the effort of loving one another. We're going to master the opportunity of reaching out to one another. We're going to change the aesthetics of this planet. Michael Jackson's death should not be in vain. His only desire was that we would become one people and we would know one another and we would be accepted by each other. Accept somebody today. Put your arms around somebody and tell them they're needed and they're important and there's purpose for them in their life. And be patient with other people in their slow process of growth. Be patient with them. And above all things, don't pass your biases on to somebody. And if you have stupid thinking, go back and get some new thinking. And don't tell other people that they don't matter and that they're the less of. And show someone today that it's possible to reach back, buy somebody else's bootstraps and pull them up. Because we're going to eradicate the stinking thinking. And we're going to eradicate the biases and injustice. As we do that, and we bring about education, read that book, The Miseducation of the Negroes. Go out and find that book by Carter G. Watson. That book is a very important book. It's a landmark book. And I urge you to go out and read that today. And we're going to ask you to join us again, same time tomorrow at 6:30. And it's been great being with you this evening. And to all of our listening audience out there, especially to Harambe. Harambe, we thank you for the work you're doing out there. Amon, we thank you so much for the work you're doing to reconnect communities back together and societies and races back together. We thank you for the opportunity to connect with Africa, to bring about this opportunity for Africans to go back to Africa to reconnect, to help in any way they can. We thank you for that. And people don't think that it's strange that Africans want to go home again and be able to help in their homeland. Don't think that it's strange. It's in your heart. And if it's in your heart to do that, find a way to do it. Don't let anybody talk you out of your birthright. If that land has been set aside for you and you've been called to do something there to help the community, go and do what you can. Because it is our purpose. We were predestined to come here and do something great. And it has to be something greater than sitting back waiting for the next person to do something. And I want to admonish everyone in the listening audience today at the sound of my voice. You knew that this message was necessary. And every now and then, I may have a message on my heart that I need to bring across. And this was on my heart very heavy today. And I want every one of you to understand that we are one. And we're one nation, one mind, one body. And as we begin to work towards one purpose in this community, in our settings, in our churches, and in the United States, let us work towards a better country. A better country, one that does not shoot each other down, one that does not criticize each other because of their philosophies and beliefs. Let us all be able to take time and be patient with one another. And upon that note, I'd like to say, Asante Sana, thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for going the whole distance with me here on Care to Read. We'll be back here tomorrow, and we will have our guests in the audience to be able to speak to you. But I found it necessary to do this show in this manner, and just be patient with me. We have a whole week to be together, and there's a lot that's going on in the community, a lot that needs to be addressed. And I want to say, for the benefit of those who cannot speak for themselves, I am an advocate. And being an advocate, sometimes burdens are heavier on you, and you have to open up and speak for those who cannot advocate for themselves as an ombudsman person, a go-between. And if we eradicated racism in this day and time, we would have done a great thing, but it definitely has to be addressed. It definitely has to be addressed. I could not talk about all of this health issue and all of these great things without talking about that situation because it's a disease. And being a disease, it is a problem that it can actually cause us to be sicker than ever before. And we are trying to get well. We are trying to heal ourselves. And in healing ourselves holistically, We look at our thinking. We look at our mind pattern, our thought pattern, and we heal ourselves to the point where we reconnect back together. Reconnect back with somebody in your community, somebody that you wouldn't normally speak to. Go up to them and speak to them. Throw your arms around them and tell them they belong and you're glad that they're here. Tell them that you thank them for being a part of this society. And as we begin to be communal people and connect back together again, you see this universe drastically changing, drastically changing. And as the universe changes, we will become a new people. And the new earth that they are talking about in 2010, it will come about. That new earth will be here, ladies and gentlemen, for us to see it with our own eyes. No more killing, no more lying, no more stabbing each other in the back, no more taking people's objects or their things, no more penalizing people, no more using your power to usurp over others. It will be a new earth. And just like Eckhart Tolle said, we want a new earth, a new world, a new beginning. Let that new beginning start within you. The peace that you want to see, let it start within you. I know I am. I'm going to let that peace start within me. And that is the peace that we ought to see and the brotherhood that we ought to see. One nation, one aim, one purpose. And I say, Harambe, 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 Harambe. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And stay tuned tomorrow, same time, same place, 6:30 tomorrow. Thank you for going the whole way with us, Odabo.